Welcome to Know the Name, Know the Answers. I'm your host, Sharon Lynn Wyeth, and tonight you get me the whole hour. It is the first Thursday of the month, and on the first Thursday of every month, you get me where you can call in and ask questions just on your name. Namology science is the study of the placement of the letters of a name and what they tell you. And so it's really important to know all of the things they tell you. I just had my first guest the last 2 days that took me up on the offer of come spend 2 days with me. That was my Black Friday offer. And it was come spend 2 days with me. You have to come in the month of December, January, or February, and you will have my soul attention for 2 days. And that once you're here, you can stay in the cabin in the woods with me, and I will feed you. I will pick you up from the airport and back again. And so other than your airplane ticket here and the cost that is unbelievably inexpensive to come spend 2 days with me, that's it. You don't have any additional costs because once you're here, I'll take care of you. You can ask any kind of questions you want. The person left after the first 2 days and she said, oh my God, you even stayed up with me till 11 o'clock at night when I wanted to go to bed, answering my questions. And I said, that's what you get, a solid 2 days of my attention from when I pick you up at the airport on the first day to when I drop you off on the second day. You know, however long you want to stay awake. So I'm happy for her that it was a great experience. She sat down the first day and she said, this is all I want to find out and learn and know. And we finished about an hour earlier, and she went, oh my gosh, we got through everything. And I thought, of course we did. I time it according to what you want to know and how you want to spend your time. So those of you that are interested in that, all you have to do is go to my website and write me an email and give me your phone number, and we'll call you and arrange the 2 days and which 2 days you would like to come. It's still being offered. Unfortunately, it's a little bit more than that Black Friday special because that exhausted itself as of this past Tuesday, but it's still incredibly reasonable because it's still less than what I usually make in a day, and you get 2 days. So for those of you that are really interested in learning a lot about life, a lot about names and comparing names with other people, in other words, have me compare names. Let's learn about the people that are important to you in your life and what you're doing. You know, just give me a call and we'll go through that or figure something out. Tonight is kind of an interesting night. Before I get into it, I do want to say that if you want to call in and have me answer any of your questions on your name, the call-in number is always the same. It is 888-627-6008. You know, we hear about 007, but this is 008 at the end. So it's 888-627-6008. You could also call 323-744-4831. Again, 323-744-4831. Now, the reason this is kind of special night or whatever is because there have been so many what I want to call apparently bad news that we don't know the silver lining of yet. And a lot of people that have called me this past 6 weeks have been going through very much what we would consider tragedies, myself included. I had lightning strike the tree that struck the house, because I'm out here in the woods, just 2 weeks after I had to replace the hot water heater. And this tree hit the roof, causing a hole in the roof, which then as it slid down, it took the gutter with it, it took the poles with it, it took the electricity where it comes into the house off the wall, and then it landed on the HVAC system. So what did that mean? That meant that since Halloween, I did not get electricity until the day before Thanksgiving, and I only got heat as of yesterday. And so I am so thrilled and grateful to have both heat and electricity. And I was thinking, we are so blessed and so lucky that even when what can be considered tragedies hit, we still have it better than so many people around the world. And I've been a lot of those places, having been fortunate enough now to travel to 77 countries. And so I look at that and I think, you know, we are blessed. We have replacements. There is enough. There is abundance. You know, I was so fortunate that when the tree fell and hit my house and whacked out my electricity, it did not affect any of my neighbors' houses. They were far enough away and it wasn't all hooked together. And I was very grateful for that because I would have felt absolutely awful if my neighbors, some of them older, you know, had to go without heat or electricity because of what happened to my house, even though, you know, what's the odds of lightning striking a tree that then hits your house? And I was very, very grateful that it hit right to the left of where I was working when it could have hit on top of where I was working. And so I sat and I counted my blessings. And I thought, this is the season for all of us to count our blessings. I know that there are loved ones that are sick. There are business deals that are not going as we would like them to go. There are deaths in different families. I know that there's a lot that we can focus on that could be negative. But instead, we have the wonderful opportunity to be grateful for the things that are going right in our house. And because of that, and because of what happened in my life, I literally started once again a gratitude journal. And I would really suggest that if you want to create more things in your world to be grateful for, that you start your own gratitude journal. And mine is kind of different because every day I'm thinking about something quite different possibly than the day before. So I'm not always grateful for the same things. For when I look on 2 days ago in my grateful journal, it said, I'm grateful that I'm creative. I love creating quilts and stuffed animals and pictures with fabric and paintings and macrame. And I love the fact that I was taught these things as a child and I just learned to really love them and they've evolved over time. I'm very grateful for my spiritual understanding that from the time I was in 8th through 12th grade, my mother ran a mystery school after school every day on Wednesdays. And we would race home to hear it. And so many people would ask to come over to our house so they could hear my mom and what she was discussing at those times. So I had a very early education into what I want to call spirituality. Besides in 8th grade, when that started, I read the entire Bible for myself and picked a different major book every year thereafter. And I am so very grateful that I have that grounding and understanding. And my dad said, as he saw what I was doing, he said, well, that's probably a good thing since I had declared in 8th grade I wanted to be a school teacher. And he said, that's probably a great thing because if you can understand the different religions and the different faiths, then when somebody declares one of them, you understand where they're coming from. And that was my beginning of my interest in what causes us all to, you know, believe what we do and be who we are. And why did we pick this faith over that one? And are they all telling us the same thing in different ways? Or are they telling us different things? And there's a lot of books, one I especially like that came out of, his name starts, it's three names and they all start with a T and I absolutely will slaughter them when I say them. But he really went through, he's a Thai monk, and he went through and he did a similar thing I did and read a lot of the different books. And then he wrote one that said, here's the top 10 commonalities that are in all the faiths. And I thought about that and I thought, everyone sees it like that blind man in the elephant poem from their own perspective. And yet the core lessons are all the same. It's kind of like saying, we know that 2 + 2 = 4, but are we talking about apples? Are we talking about people? Are we talking about houses? You know, what does it pertain to? And that every culture pertains it to a little differently. The third thing in my gratitude journal, and I only write 12 things every time, is that I'm very grateful for the people I've met. I've gotten to meet and study with some incredible beings, from Japu over in Thailand to Sai Baba in India and to Dr. Eugene Whitworth that founded the Great Western University in the San Francisco Bay Area to J.J. Dewey, who's in Idaho and still teaching. You know, I've just been incredibly fortunate, and I only named a few. For every time from my teaching salary, I had enough money to go someplace like the Monroe Institute or overseas and study or even in the States and study with a religious teacher or an institute that was doing some profound work, I took that opportunity. And I thought, now that I'm looking back, I'm very fortunate that I was able to do that. And I was very fortunate that my job as a school teacher gave me time off every summer so that I could. And I think it's very important that we give ourselves those gifts of education as we're going forward so that we can continue to grow, that we can have less judgment, because our world really does teach judgment. And instead, we can have preferences in our own lives, but not to judge another person and their preferences for their life. And instead, just realize that everybody is on their own path, who came to learn what their soul wanted them to learn and came to contribute to the world and what their souls wanted them to contribute. The fourth thing that I have on my gratitude diary from 2 days ago is my ability to earn an income. And for 40 years, I was in education. However, the last 2 years, I've just been reading names and doing intuitive readings for people. And that ability to serve every time, whether I was teaching or now, it's highly important to me, and I'm incredibly grateful for the opportunity. And I'll take a break from number five, because Amy, welcome to Know the Name, Know the Answers. And again, if you would like to call in, the phone number here is 888-627-6008. Amy, how are you?
I'm doing great. Can you hear me okay, Sharon?
Absolutely, yes.
Number one, I love hearing your voice. And Dawn, you guys are great.
Thank you. How can I serve you today?
My name. What is going on with my name that is just, I can't make up my mind in life. I don't know who I am. I don't know what I am. You know, is there a block in my name, or what is the power of my name?
Well, you happen to be living through the year of what I call the you that shows up in your name. Okay. And anytime you're in one of the years where you happen to hit the you in your name, if you have a you in your name, you think about it as undecisive, if there is such a word, you know, close to indecisive. It's like undecided. It's like you're exploring. There's almost too many options out there. It's kind of like when you go to the store and there's 16 different kinds of apples and you go, which kind of apple do I want? Now there's too many choices, so I think I'll buy an orange. You know, it's like it's almost overwhelming. And you have been seeking for so long spirituality, because that also comes with that you. And you've listened to so many different people from whatever perspective they're coming from, whatever their own understanding is of spirituality. And you've been gathering information. And it's almost like you have so much information that you don't know what to do with it, because you've asked so many people outside of yourself instead of taking time to say, who do I choose to be and what do I really want? How do I feel versus what do I think? Because your whole name says, Amy, that you're a fabulous thinker. But it also says during the you year, it's time to feel. So you've got to feel your way through this one. What is it that you really want?
Wow. You are so trippy. I mean, I cannot believe how good you are. I mean, I can, but you know what I mean. It's delightful.
Well, thank you, but it's really just using namology science. And, you know, I had a lot of help from what I call the other side, because they ask me questions all the time or put things in front of my face so that I could figure this out. You know, so
yeah.
I give gratitude to the universe for that. And then it's just using it. It's a tool.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you definitely have quite a history of a gift, and I admire that. And I like your books. I still I need to learn more and more, but your books are great. So I highly recommend Sharon's book to anybody who needs them.
I didn't even pay her to say that, guys.
No, she didn't. They're great. I've had them for a few years. They're really worth having. So thank you so much.
You're so welcome. And just know that as you get close to your next birthday, Amy, you're switching into the R, which is really understanding the truth and getting a lot of ahas. So you're almost there.
Okay? Thank you. I'm going to make it. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Enjoy a great show.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Happy holidays. Okay, Grace from California. How can I be of service for you?
Well, I'm curious. Just want to know.
What some of what your name says? This is for everybody
My
out
name
there.
Is Grace.
If you want to give our producer, Don, he's fabulous, your full name so that I can do a really accurate, detailed reading for you. And then on air, okay. I will not mention your last name to give you your privacy.
Okay.
I'm more than happy to do that, but I can be a lot more accurate. But Grace, from the part that I know, okay, are you still there or did you hang up to call my producer?
No,
you're still there. Okay, so from the part that you're showing me of your name, I can tell you that you've come to be helped to be a factor of change. You've picked a time element where change is rapid. You know, the Chinese have always said, may you live in interesting times, that it's a blessing and a curse. And so there's individuals that come that say, we'll help you through these interesting times because we're very good at being flexible and seeing the positive in what's happening. And that's what your name says. It says that you're going to be in charge of you. You don't like to be micromanaged. You know how to get your work done, but you have a really generous spirit, and you're really here to acknowledge and seek the truth as you understand it. And at the same time, you know, help others be flexible, okay, along with yourself. And then to pass that along and do it in a very charming way. You got charm in your name. You know, I used to look at people in high school. There was one lady named Pam in high school. Pamela Cole was her name. And she was the most charming person. I swore, even when she came to my house to help me on some committee I was in charge of to make something for the school, whatever it was, where I think we were doing decorations for a dance. She shows charming. Even my dad was charmed by her. And I thought it takes a lot to charm my dad. But I just watched her. It's like everybody, she got wrapped around her little baby finger because she was just so charming. And I thought, how do people do that? I mean, I could watch her and watch her. I could never figure out a pattern. It was like, oh my gosh, what a gift. And that's the gift you have in your name. And so I invite you to use it. And at the same time, I want to give you the gift of knowing that your biggest challenge is your name is to not let other people take advantage of you and to maintain your safety. You've got to always say, is it safe for me to do this? Is it safe where I'm going? If you ever go grocery shopping at night, I'd have somebody from the grocery store walk you out with your groceries to your car. I mean, I just play it safe.
Oh, good. I've gone to the 24-hour stores at 3 in the morning, and just like it's 3 in the afternoon, I have no cares. I just walk in, walk out. Never thought about my safety like that.
Exactly. But it's safety in all manners because your name has a combination in it that says there's some time in your life where people are going to try to take from you what you don't want to give. And when I see that combination in a name, I say I never know when it's going to show up without really doing a whole thing on all your name. And the big thing is to be safe and consider your safety. Just like if you're at a party and you're drinking out of a can, a soda can or something, to keep your thumb over the mouthpiece of the can so nobody can put drugs in there or something else when you're not looking.
Oh, yes. I've heard of things like that, so I'm always careful about that because that is...
Yeah, it's just safety. I grew up in San Diego, and my dad was a doctor, and he saw all kinds of things, and the number one thing he taught us was safety. But I have what I call the sister combination that you have in your name that says you have to declare safety the same as in my name. So I'm incredibly grateful to what my dad taught me. But please be careful, and then know that you are a fabulous person that came here to help people through these very challenging times.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Bless
you. Thank you.
Happy holidays.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Michael. from Alabama. I love the fact that I have your full name. And Carol, you're next, so that you know. Hold on. Michael, what can I do for you? Hi.
Just give me a, how you doing? Give me a, just a, what my name is. I really just want to know what all my name is.
What all you, what your name means, did you say? Or did you say something about the name? You're not coming to your slip.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I'm happy to do that for you. Okay, Michael, it says that you wrestle between your heart and your head and which one you should, you know, follow when they're not in alignment. And your name says you ought to always follow your head. It'll do you better judgments than your heart. So, okay. So anytime you're indecisive, go with whatever your head's saying. It also says that you can see things from other people's points of view, even when you disagree with it. That you're absolutely brilliant, that you're a good manifester. You can manifest, you keep going, and you manifest what you want, and you figure out how to get something done, and you just do it. And everybody looks at you and goes, how do you do that? And you just kind of shrug your shoulders because it's natural. And your name says you're a natural leader. At the same time, to help your memory, you do things the hard way, okay? Because if you do it the hard way, then you go, oh, I remember how I did that last time. Oh, no, I want to do that differently. Right? And yet when it comes to it, then the next time it comes around, you go, oh, I just remember it was easy. What did I do? And then you waste so much time trying to remember what you did. You could have gotten it done already. And so the cure for that, by the way, is carry something around or even a phone where you can text yourself and say, hey, next time I have to do this, this is the easy way I figured it out. And then make a little notebook. So the next time the easy stuff comes around, you can go through your notebook and read the headings and go, oh, yeah, this is how I did that. Okay? So that you don't have to create the hard way. Your name also says that what you like to do, and what you don't like, you're not going to do. It's like, nope, forget it. Nobody can make you do what you're not going to want to do. Now, the biggest challenge in your name, actually, there's two that just jump out. We all have seven, by the way, but I'll mention two. One is that you've been taught to rescue other people. And what we forget that all the great books of all the different religions teach us is that when we're rescuing instead of assisting, okay, when we're rescuing another person, then we owe them. Because by us rescuing them, we've said, you're not as strong or smart or good or whatever as I am. And therefore, I'm doing this for you because I actually don't believe you can do it for yourself. And so we actually bring harm because then that person goes, oh, maybe I'm not as good or smart or talented or whatever as I thought I was because this person's now doing it for me. They don't even think I can. Okay. So it's a challenge in your name that says you're wonderful at wanting to rescue people. And can you change that into assisting them and saying, hey, I know you can do this for yourself, but would you like some help? And that's a whole different energy. Okay. And the other thing that is a real challenge is to know your own self-worth and value. It says you've got self-confidence and every year that you get older, you get more confident. But self-confidence is not the same thing as self-worth and value because confidence says, yes, I can do this. But self-worth is intrinsic that says I have value even if I'm not working. Even if I'm not contributing, even if I'm just sitting here like a bum on the log, I have value. And I know when I first got out of the education system, I thought, gosh, my value wasn't being a really good teacher, but now what is it? And it took me about 6 months to figure out that my value had nothing to do with my ability to be good in that classroom. Okay, that it became really intrinsic. And that happened years ago to me when the man I was married to got transferred and I wasn't working. Okay. So I just want you to know that knowing your own value is the biggest challenge in your name. And that in my belief system, God doesn't make mistakes or whatever we call God. God's got a lot of different names, 72 of them or so. And he doesn't make mistakes. And so that you are not a mistake. And he gave you brilliance, and he gave you compassion, and he gave you abilities, and he gave you the ability to become wise and not keep making the same mistakes. So to use that to recognize that you have worth. Otherwise, he wouldn't have stacked the deck and given you so many gifts. Okay, James. I mean, Michael, I hope that helps you.
That helps a whole lot. You just don't know if you hit anything right on the nail. Because I'm the one physical disabled. When you send it somewhere, I know exactly what you mean. Yes, yeah. I do.
Yeah, it sits in the name, and there's so much more, because like I said, I can talk 2 hours on a name for what I see. But anyway, I pulled out the parts that I thought could help you the most, and God bless you, and happy holidays, Michael.
Thank you. Same to you, Shazam. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye. Thanks for calling in. Carol, you are on the line from my neighboring state. You know, I live in Tennessee.
Oh, that's awesome. I love Tennessee.
Yeah, I only live 8 miles from the Virginia border.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I'm kind of on the towards the coast, but Virginia is also a beautiful state.
It is a very beautiful state, and God bless you for being on the coast. I've been all over Virginia. It's one of my favorite states. I like the tax situation better in Tennessee. So I got close to it without being in it. How can I help you?
Yeah. I was wondering if you could kind of tell what, from my name, what kind of career I would enjoy.
Well, your name screams service, like being a nurse or being a manager, where you're helping the other people to improve their skills. Okay. You could be a teacher, but I don't think you'd be happy in it for that many years. Okay. It's like it's other people have too much control over you, and you need to be in charge of you, and you're very good at being in charge of others. You really need to be in charge of you. And so, that's why I'm saying as a nurse, you have more freedom. As a teacher, there's a ton of rules. And even though I know they keep putting more and more rules in the nursing field, and also it says you could be like a manager, like you could manage a bunch of people on a telemarketing floor. Okay, I'm just laughing at that. But anyway, you could manage a lot of people, and you would do it with both compassion and nurturing them and helping them at the same time that you're their boss. Okay? Mm. And respectful. So in your name comes care, comes management, comes that every year is better than the year before. You have such fairness issues in your name. You know, it's like you want to be fair. You would have in your name a little bit of a tendency to micromanage because you don't want to give them the right to do anything on their own unless you know already that they're doing it right, because there's a right way and a wrong way, just ask you. Okay? But
yes, fairness means everything to me, so that's very funny that you say that.
Well, it's there. And also the truth is very fair. And you've got the combination that I was talking about to Grace earlier, where you've really got to be careful of safety. And it shows up in your name exactly how it shows up in mine. Okay, Grace has the sister way it shows up. And so please just be aware that you're parking under light, that you're taking care of where you're putting your body, that you're safe. Okay?
Okay.
And unless I'm doing an in-depth and getting it all out and stuff, it's not something I can look at to see the timing for that as fast as I can read, you know, what that is there. Okay. You also have in your name, is this your married last name that you gave the producer or your maiden?
My married.
You're married. Okay. So I would be concerned if your in-laws didn't try to tell you what to do and you'd go, yeah, right. Not happening. But that wouldn't stop them from
trying. Yes, that has happened. Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, it's not going to stop them from trying. You can be taken advantage of in your name, and you've got safety, that you've got to watch your safety in your name. And this married name amplified that. Okay?
I wondered if I should change my name back to my maiden name. That's interesting.
I don't know what your maiden name is, but without knowing, if you changed your name back and so your maiden name does not start with the same two letters as your married name that you've given me here on the air, okay?
It doesn't.
And if your maiden name does not have two L's in it,
it doesn't.
Then I would definitely change it back. Because it's,
Okay,
because it's how those letters are affecting the letters that you already have that are amplifying the violence, that are amplifying the in-laws thinking that they can boss you around, that are all amplifying that. And if you changed it back, then some of that, the in-laws would get off your case and not try to control you. And some of the safety issues, especially the physical safety issues, would be minimized instead of maximized.
Okay. That's very interesting. That's also the name of my sons. So that does that something they need to be concerned about?
Well, it depends on what their depends on what their first names are and their middle names. So, what's your son's first name?
Ryan and Steven.
Okay, so neither one has to worry about safety. Ryan would have to concern himself with being at the wrong place at the wrong time where drugs are present.
Okay.
Like he could be at a party and people have drugs and that he's perfectly innocent, but the cops come and he gets arrested because he was there and they think everybody was doing it.
He's actually a cop. So,
Is he a cop? I love it. No wonder I'm seeing cops all around. He's the one busting them. I was going to say it's in his name that he's around drugs and he's not doing it. I think that's hysterical that he's a cop. So he's the one busting him. He's not at the party. He's busting at the party.
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing what shows up in a name? Yeah, but his name doesn't give me any safety concerns.
Oh, wonderful.
Okay? Yeah, it doesn't at all. He's very strong. He's very wise in safety. He'll constantly get promoted too also in his job. He's good. Okay.
Oh, wow. So, that's awesome. Okay.
Okay, so there was Ryan, and then tell me the other one's name again. Steve, right?
Steven with a PH, yes.
Okay, thank you. He finds himself later. I want to say as he's in his 30s, you're going to see him absolutely blossom. It's like up until age 28, he's trying different things and he doesn't really have his correct direction yet. But when he's in his 30s, you're going to have an incredible being on your hands. Okay, so not to worry about him. He's going to figure out different things. He's got to try different things, but he's going to succeed once he's in his 30s. And it's not that he's not successful before that. It's just he's not sure of what he wants to do and how long he wants to do it. And you're going to say, he needs to get settled. And we're going to say, not going to happen until he's in his 30s. Okay?
Okay. Thank you so much. That was wonderful.
Yep. My pleasure, Carol. Thank you for calling. Happy holidays.
Thank you. Happy holidays. You too.
Thank you. Again, the number is 888-627-6000. 888-627-6008 if you'd like to call in and have me look at your name with your questions. And I was telling you about my gratitude list of 12 and my number 5, and I've so rarely put names of people down here, but I literally put down Clint Arthur and his wife Allie. And the reason for that is I met him years ago when he was really getting started on the path that he's doing so incredibly well now. And I want to say, 10, 15 years ago now, I've lost track of time. But we were both starting in new directions at the same time. I was learning business, and I had earned some I hadn't earned it. I had been gifted with some inheritance money, and so I spent some of it on education. And I thought Dad would be pleased because that's what was always important to him, is that we stay educated. And when he passed away, I took some of the money that he had left me and I went to go learn some new things about business, because when you're in schools, it's different. It's so different than business, how they run schools. And I can run a school. I've been a high school principal, but business was different, and marketing and all of that. So I decided to take anyway, a year-long program, and he was in it. And I've watched him flourish, and his wife is just the most gracious being out there. And I've watched them flourish, and I've watched them raise big time. And he always told me that I was wasting, not wasting time teaching, but financially I would never make it teaching, and that being a teacher was literally costing me financially, that I ought to be doing this stuff. Well, two years ago now, I said, okay, I'll do this stuff full time. I'll take the risk. But to see how he's grown and how many people he's helped, and I mean, it's because of him on my website that you see pictures of me with Martha Stewart and a few other people like Jerry of Jerry and Ben Ice Cream that are just incredible beings, especially when you meet them with a great sense of humor and generosity of heart and spirit. And it's been because of Clint. And Clint has always reached out and really pretty much said, how can I help you, Sharon? You know, this is what I recommend you do next. And just the generosity of his spirit. And I've been thinking of him as I write this gratitude journal, because I purchased one of his books to write it in, you know? And I just thought, I'm very grateful for the people I've met, and right now, especially grateful for him and his wife. Okay? The sixth group that I'm grateful for, and again, I'm just giving this to you for ideas, because it's what a wonderful time of the year to have a gratitude journal. And that is, I'm grateful for the group that I call the Light Keepers, because this is a group who I met when I was a child that as an adult has constantly been my spiritual teachers, constantly said, why don't you try this? Or it would benefit you to read that. Or why don't you go learn from this person? And has really given me guidance through my life. And whether we hire a coach or whether we're seeking on our own and you're getting it through meditation or whatever, I think it's so important to have somebody else look at your life and say, ah, we need to turn that direction a little to the left, you know, or let's go straight a little longer, you know, or let's veer to the right and miss that big boulder that's going to be coming ahead. And the group that I call the Light Keepers has always done that for me. And so I'm incredibly grateful, and I give them a lot of credit. And there are so many times I can remember me arguing with them. I don't want to do that. In fact, my mother used to say that was my favorite sentence. I don't want to. You know, she said, I rolled it all together, the I don't want to's. She'd tell me to do something, and my response would be, I don't want to. They didn't stop me from doing it because she was very forceful. But at the same time, I let her know what I thought. And I remember arguing with the Light Keepers at different times. And when I went against their suggestions because I thought I knew better, I watched what happened versus what could have, would have, you know, happened had I followed their suggestions. In other words, I made my life harder in different areas. And so I'm very grateful to them and the guidance they've given me. And even though it took me a long time to really learn how to listen. Okay. The seventh thing on my gratitude list is I'm incredibly grateful for my clients, and I say prayers on their behalf. And I'm incredibly grateful that people are willing to take a risk and say, okay, I'm willing to listen. I'm willing to get a different point of view. I'm willing to see what's in my name, what was planned for me, and where I'm on it, and where I need to maybe, you know, make a course correction. You know, I'm incredibly grateful for the people that call me to trust, just like everybody that called in tonight. And I look at my clients and I think these are the brave people on the earth, because they're willing to try something new, and there's no guarantees, and they have no real clue what's going to come out of my mouth, you know? And I think they're the people that are willing to listen. And I know how much the Light Keeper group worked with me before I was really willing to listen. And I think God bless the people that are my clients that call in and ask, because they're not going through the same thing I did. They're already at the place where they're willing to listen. The eighth thing on my gratitude list are my parents. Was it always easy as a child? Absolutely not. I very graciously say, I really like the results of their parenting, even though the majority of the time during the parenting experience, I was not a happy camper. Okay. I can say that when I was in the eighth grade, I had a 5-year diary. And I remember writing in there that it was okay that I hated everybody or everybody hated me because I knew I was better at hating than they were. And I hated them more than they hated me. And I look back at that now and I think, how sad is that? To not feel wanted, to not feel loved, to feel judged, to feel like you couldn't do anything right. It didn't matter what you did. To want to lash out at the world because of that. And then I met some incredible students. I had some fabulous teachers. And ninth grade really helped turn things around. But also my aunt, who would always tell me things like, stop cutting your nails in front of other people. Just do them in the bathroom privately. You know, who was always trying to correct me on my behaviors. She gave me a book in the summer between eighth and ninth grade. And it was called How to Win Friends and Influence People. And she said, do a chapter and get it good before you do the next chapter. Well, the first chapter was all about names. Okay, I look at that very ironic these days. And how often to call somebody by their name because that's the sweetest sound anybody can hear. And the second chapter was about smiles, to wear a smile on your face. And now it's such a habit. But I'll tell you, in the beginning of ninth grade when I was trying to follow that book, it was so hard. I never smiled. And I wrote all over my book covers, smile. And I thought, why? And, you know, I was told it took less muscles. And I thought, who cares? I'm a ballet dancer. I'm strong. You know, I've got good muscles. And so, I mean, I'd been dancing ballet since second grade. I was good. I was in the highest class before the company in the San Diego Ballet Company. And I traveled with them during the summers, you know, during the Christmas 2-week break. In seventh and eighth grade with the Nutcracker. And I thought, I'm strong. I don't care if I smile or not smile. I don't care how many muscles it takes. And I remember writing smile everywhere. And I'd see smile and I'd go, ugh. And I'd plaster it on my face and thinking, okay, I'm going to learn how to do this. And then along with that, it was my aunt told me, you know, you need a sense of humor. You're way too serious. Well, now I get it. I look at my birth name. There is not one funny letter in there because different letters carry sense of humor. And there's not one in my birth name. I was incredibly serious and determined and self-disciplined and whatever. And I remember thinking, I've got to get this sense of humor according to my aunt. And I trusted her. And she was the only one that I thought was really actually kind and caring besides my grandmother. And I thought, okay, I'm going to do this because she suggested it. And so there was a person named David Landis in my junior high, okay, in that ninth grade year. And he was in all of my classes. And he laughed willingly. And everybody loved him. You know, he got along with everybody. He had a great sense of humor. And he laughed and he had fun. And I thought, okay. Since he's in all my classes, when he laughs, I'm going to laugh. I won't know what we're laughing at or why we're laughing, but I'm going to learn to laugh. And so when he would laugh, I would laugh. And then I think, okay, what just happened before this laughter? What could that be? And I thought, if I just keep listening and notice when he laughs and then go back in my mind to what just happened, maybe I'll figure out the pattern of humor. And so that I'll know when to laugh when I'm not around him. Can you imagine? And that was just how serious I was. I was such a serious kid. And so it was like, okay, I'm going to get this skill down. And in 10th grade, David and I became best friends. And he had many friends. But we became really close. And I started thinking that. I thought, of course we're close. We have the same sense of humor. It was his. I totally adopted it as mine. And bless his heart for how well he helped in that. And was such a good sport about it. And then he started including me with his group. And I started making friends. And so the combination of the book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, my aunt's, you know, suggestions, my parents' disciplines of what was right versus what was wrong, my dad's constant teaching, my mom's mystery school once a week. All of it, I realized I'm incredibly grateful, even though I didn't always appreciate how they went about things. I certainly appreciated what I learned and what they did to the best of their behavior to teach me, you know, to the best of their ability, because they, you know, we all grow up with things we like and things we don't. And I want to say, while I'm talking about parents and my eighth gratitude, is that literally, I think our parents do the best they can with what they know most often. Okay? Because that's so important. And there's a saying in the book to honor your parents. And so many of our, you know, really religious texts, it says honor your parents. And so I'd like to offer you a different way of looking at honor your parents. And I honor my parents by copying the wonderful things they did with us and by not copying the things that were not appropriate. So I don't, and I never have really copied my dad's temper. I used to call him a rageaholic. And bless his heart, he was such a good parent other than being a rageaholic. And when it was a rageaholic, it was dangerous. And I learned to sense when that was coming up in him. And so I learned how to mediate. I learned how to, survive. It was a survival technique, but I learned how to use sensitivity. And so I developed my skills of being sensitive to others because I wanted to make sure that I could always feel or know when his temper was going to be coming to make sure I wasn't there or I was braced. And so when I copy the good things he did, like every Sunday was family day and the whole family did something together, how he taught us every night. He had a lesson for us around the table, and he would start with some patient that he talked to that day or something that happened at work that day. Like, for an example, the 90-year-old who went into the hospital, and it was the first time she'd ever been sick. And he said, "What do you contribute that to? That you've all, this is the first time you've been sick and ever needing in the hospital." And she says, "Because I have my little shot of whiskey every night, and that keeps me going." So Dad ordered the shot of whiskey for her every night she was in the hospital, saying that not having it would do more harm than having it. And he was very conscientious and very caring with other people. And like I said, other than the temper, and now I get it because I can look at his name and say, when systems don't work, that's what made him mad. And then, of course, it would spread, the anger. But it's what the system wasn't working is what would set him off. And I know that now from his name, but I didn't know that then. And so, but I look at what he taught us and different things, like on our 16th birthday, we got a new dress made by Mom. And that was a really big deal because since we were 13, we had to sew all of our own clothes. And so Mom made us a dress and got us a new pair of shoes. And then we had a date with Dad, and we could go anywhere and do anything we wanted. What a cool way to celebrate your 16th birthday. So Dad had a lot of cool ideas and taught us a lot and did a lot of good things. And other than his temper, I would say fabulous, fabulous parenting. Okay, so I wanted to copy that part and eliminate the temper, because when we honor our parents, we're copying the good stuff and we're eliminating the stuff that we went, that's not really what it should be or it could be or was helpful. You know, we'll eliminate that stuff. And that's really honoring your parent. The ninth thing that I'm incredibly grateful for is when I got my inheritance from my dad, it allowed me to put a down on a house, and it allowed me to go learn about business and marketing and how to get your book out there and all of that. So I took those classes. And that was safety. And with my teaching salary, and by then I was a single parent with two kids, I wasn't going to have the money for a down on the house. It just, we were going month by month like so many people do. And to have that lump sum come in was such gratitude. And so I'm very grateful for that inheritance. And I know that we never know what we will receive. And I know that my dad gave other family members more. because he didn't understand my need to go study spirituality and with all these people. And he thought I should be spending money in a different way, building up wealth. And I thought my wealth is in my education. And he thought wealth was in things. And so it was difficult between us at that time. And yet I look at that and I think he gave me such a gift. And I'm grateful for what I did receive. And it's not important to compare it to what others received, because he gave me the gift that gave me a really solid foundation, which is just incredible. So the ninth thing was inheritances. And I look at my grandparents when they passed and one of my sisters when she passed, the monies that were given to me and what I was able to do with them. And they were not big sums. But, you know, when all of a sudden you have a little bit more, even if it's just $2,000, it can make such a difference. And I thought, I am very grateful that I was considered and remembered. And then, because we have 11 and 12, and I have two children and many grandchildren, I thought, you know what? I'm really grateful for them, because I really feel that family is important. Even when you're having a hard time with them, even when you're not getting along with them, it's because they are your greatest teachers, especially if you have a first vowel of an I. Oh, my gosh. Then it's really in stone that they are your greatest teachers, and you got to work something out. And sometimes with people with the first vowel of an I, I've heard them say, well, I don't have any issues with my family because I don't talk to them. And I think, hello, that is an issue, you know, because it's learning how to get along with family really shows us how to get along with everybody. I'll never forget when I became a vice principal up in Beaverton, Oregon. And the very first day of school, my first year up there, this mother came in yelling and screaming. I've never seen a hallway scatter and empty so fast, including the counselors. And I went out there and I said, well, obviously something's bothering you. Why don't we come in here and sit down and talk about it? And I brought her into the counseling office. Well, all the counselors went behind their closed doors, which we had to talk about after. But that's a different story. And as I sat down and I talked with her, and she ranted and raved, and when she finally took a breath and breathed and paused, I said, okay, let me tell you what I've heard. Let me tell you what I think I heard you say. And then she said, no, you forgot some of it. And I said, okay, do me the honor of telling me again. And we did that a few times until I repeated it back. And she goes, yeah, you finally got it. And I said, okay. I said, well, give me a couple of days to look into this and I will call you back. And I made an appointment with her. And I said, this is the day and the time I'm going to call you back, because it gives a person a feeling of security. And even if I have to call back at that time and say, this is what I found out, but I still need more time to find out this, there's a trust established when you call them back when you say you will. Okay. And so anyway, when I finally got it and I asked for time and we made the appointment, I walked her out of the school. And then I came to the counselors and I said, guys, you are the ones that are literally paid to be here to take care of people like this. And I said, no running behind closed doors. And one of the counselors came out to me and said, how did you know how to handle her? And I said, my mom taught me. And what they didn't understand is because my mom would be just like that lady at times. And I had to learn, how do you not get caught up when somebody else is having a bad day? How do you not take it on and make it your fault that they're having a bad day? How do you stay neutral and listen? Because most people just need to be heard. How often do we really take time to listen to what the other person is really saying without wanting to put in our two bits or give advice or make a comment about, yes, I get you because look what happened in my life? How many times can we just give the gift of listening? And it's funny because I have friends now that will literally tell me, I say, I want to tell you something. Is this a good time? And I have one friend that always says, am I supposed to respond or just listen? Am I listening and responding or just listening? And I think, what a wonderful thing that we can do. Anyway, we're close to closing. God bless you all. Thank you. If you would like an in-depth reading, give us a call, knowthename.com or thenamelady.com. Either one will bring you to us, you know, and give us a call and let us give you a name reading or give the gift of a name reading for somebody that you love this Christmas. Thank you so much for listening. This is Sharon Lynn Wyeth of Know the Name, Know the Answers, signing off. Good night.
How would you like to be able to read other people's minds? Well, the next best thing is here. When you know how to read a person's name, you know how the person thinks, feels, and behaves. Each letter in our name holds a key to unlock our true essence. Our name contains both our gifts and challenges in this lifetime. Nemology science discovers personality secrets hidden in the placement of the letters of our names, including the first and last impression people remember about us. Sharon shows us how to interpret the arrangement of letters as outlined in her book, Know the Name, Know the Person. Sharon Lynn Wyeth created Nemology Science after 18 years of research and testing her theories and has supported thousands of people around the world in understanding themselves and others better. You'll enjoy Sharon's unique teachings as she shares her system to learn the gifts behind your given birth name. Even if you don't like your birth name, there are jewels in this book. If you're thinking of changing your name, ready to name your child, or wanting to get along better with others, this is the book for you. If you'd like to improve your relationships and change your life for the better, get the book today, Know the Name, Know the Person, or visit www.knowthename.com. That's www.knowthename.com.